All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll hear from Andy Reid coming up in just a little bit. Mick Schaefer joins us in the 1 o'clock hour. We've talked a lot, obviously, about Chiefs and Steelers, about the dominance that took place, the defensive dominance against a bad offense, and also the Chiefs turning it on, flipping a switch, and going from a team that struggled to move the ball to a team that was doing whatever they wanted. A team that, you know, for six possessions, like the first six, the first five possessions, Chiefs had four first downs, 72 total yards. And then six straight possessions, and they were down 7-0. And then six straight possessions, 400 yards, six touchdowns, up 42-14 in just under 19 minutes time of possession in those drives. So less than a third of the game, they did that. And not to mention, you know, all of those plays they ran 41 plays in those six possessions. Six possessions, they faced five total third downs. Obviously, the Chiefs are the best in the NFL in third down conversion. They were number one in third down conversions. But it's much easier if you don't have to face third downs. I learned that. I read about it in a book. 41 plays in those six possessions, five third downs. And by the way, one of those third downs was because Tyreek Hill's touchdown was called back. And, well, were just reviewed and adjusted to the, you know, two-inch yard line. And so that was then third and goal at the one to Allegretti. So it could have been, and by the way, two of those third downs, one of those was first and goal at the one, and another one was third and one in which Burton picked up 3 yards. So they faced three third downs that were more than a yard in those six possessions. Third and seven, Pringle caught a 12-yard touchdown. Third and eight, it was Pringle for 15 yards. And then, of course, we know what happened on third and 20. 48-yard touchdown to Travis Kelce. And that's another part about, you know, the game that took place last night and what was going on and how they played. Is that, you know, Mahomes got help after the catch from receivers. Obviously, Travis Kelce, you know. Hardman had a 41-yard catch and run, but really it was a catch and then the run after that. But it was the accuracy and the decisiveness in which it looked like Patrick Mahomes was playing with. I felt like early in the season, well, not early, but middle season when the struggles were happening with the offense, I thought Patrick Mahomes looked tentative a lot and was trying to almost like, okay, I'm supposed to go here. All right, now I'm supposed to go there, and not having that confidence of just letting it rip. The throw to Travis Kelce, and I know he was open, but when he's rolling to his right and rips it down the field and it hits Kelce in stride, that to me is the confident, accurate, just playing quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Because early in the, you know, middle of the season when there were struggles, it looked like he was sort of guiding that ball. And it might not have been as accurate, and maybe Travis Kelce gets caught from behind and doesn't score the touchdown at that time. I don't know. But there were a number of those plays that Mahomes was ducking in from Watt, running to his right, and then firing and hitting a guy in stride. So a lot of that that took place in the game. And that was really good to see. There were times where he just threw the ball away. He was being pressured and threw it at the feet of some receivers or couldn't get there. Couldn't get it to that guy. And there was the play that he threw all the way back across the field to Pringle, who was open, and I think Pringle needs to catch the ball. I mean, the defender caught up, but Pringle jumps up, and the ball just goes through his hands. Like that's one that Pringle needs to bring down. He's got to catch that one. Make a play. As your quarterback made a play, you go make a play as well. But that offensive efficiency was that they weren't facing third downs. And that's a big part of, to me, middle of the season, when they were having some struggles, they were facing third downs. And yes, they might have been the best in the league at converting third downs at 50%. But if you face five third downs in a drive, what are the odds of you scoring a touchdown? As opposed to six drives, you only face five total third downs, and two of them are on third and one. So it's just awesome to see that particular efficiency. And I was going back and looking at the Bills and Chiefs first go around. And while 38-20 is a lopsided victory in favor of the Bills, There was the pick, and this is not to dismiss how the Chiefs played, because I think it's I'm not sure who I'm going to pick to win the game on Sunday. I woke up this morning thinking the Bills were going to win. But I'm not sure. I'll go back and forth all week. I will flip-flop all week long. Or maybe I stay with the Bills all week. I don't know. I'm not sure. But there's a lot more of looking back at that game. I just remembered, you know, my feeling coming out of the game was, man, it didn't really feel like they were close to the Bills. And then, you know, you go back and assess from the non-emotional investment in watching the game at the time and feeling like the momentum was tilting against you, whether you believe in momentum or not. Certainly it felt like it was happening in that game. I think momentum is just confidence on one side or the other. And it certainly felt like a lot of the energy was on one side of the field, in one sideline, and that was the Bills. But the Chiefs led 10-7, you know, halfway through the second quarter. So they didn't come out and just get punked, and the Bills just took it to them early and often, and the Chiefs were down 18, and it didn't really even feel like it was that close. They were up 10-7, but it was the next 7-8 minutes of football that took place after that that was the difference in the game. Manuel Sanders has the 35-yard touchdown. Could have been avoided. Chiefs go 3 and out. That was the 3rd and 2 Darrell Williams run that did not pick up any yards, and they punt. That was also the 3 and out after the Sanders touchdown, which was 2 runs and 1 Mahomes pass for 8 yards. No gain, 8-yard pass, 1-yard run. Punt, 3 and out against the Bills, who then kick a field goal on that drive. Chiefs then get the ball back. They drive down to the Buffalo 32-yard line, and it's 4th and 5, and it's incomplete. The Bills get the ball back. 2 plays later was the Dawson Knox long touchdown in which Sorensen stopped running. All of a sudden, you're up 10-7, and now you're down 24-10. I mean, the Chiefs get the field goal before half to make it 24-13. They were getting the ball to come out of a half. I believe that was the... I believe they punted right out of the game. No, the Bills got the ball out of the half because we were talking about that game as being one that the Chiefs got the ball first and ended up scoring right before half. But the Bills got the ball. None of the defense came out and stopped them, and that was when people were like, oh, just, you know, the Bills weren't really trying at that point. You know, it's a, they felt like the game was over. Right, okay, so 2nd and 3rd down were both Josh Allen passes. But still, Chiefs get the ball. They don't go 3 and out, but they only get to the 39-yard line. They punt it. Bills get the ball back. They pick up 1 first down. They punt it. And then the pick 6 happens. So you're down 24-13, and you have a pick 6. That was the game, right? Made it 30-13. Chiefs then drive the length of the field. 1st and goal at the 8-yard line. Interception Rousseau. If the pick 6 wasn't already the game, the interception by Rousseau then definitely was the game. Because you could have been down by 10 with still 3 minutes left to go in the third quarter. You still had 18 minutes of football to go, down 10 points. And you know, Buffalo ends up scoring, what, one more touchdown the rest of the way? It was a long drive. That was the, God, I don't even remember what big plays happened on that one. That might have been one that was just a methodical drive. Nope, that was the roughing the passer on 3rd and 17 that the Chiefs committed. That ended up resulting in a touchdown there. There were a lot of mistakes that were made by the Chiefs, man, in that game. Buffalo did not play a perfect game by any stretch, but the Chiefs were -4 in that game. They were -4. And they were down, well, they were -2, and they were down 11. And the next 2 plays, or 2 drives, resulted in interceptions. 1, Tyreek Hill drops the ball. Picked off, returned for a touchdown. And then Rousseau with just a phenomenal play. Same play that Nwosu made in L.A. It's a great play. Those plays happen. But you got to be better. And you can't be -4 in a game against the Bills. I think the Chiefs will be better on Sunday. But I think the Bills might be better as well. I think the Bills are playing at a pretty high level, coming off a game in which they were dominant. So they're going to be riding just as high, and what the Bills are not going to face is to walk into a game, walk on the field at Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday, and look across the field and feel like those guys are better than us. They're going to look across the field and say, we are better than those guys. And that was the emotional impact of winning the game, and especially the way that they did. They can look at it and go, not only are we better, we beat them down. We were the much better team. We just got to go and play our game. We don't have to do anything extra special or crazy to knock off this team, which we already beat early in the year. I think that emotional part of it, of one sideline to the other, is gone. And maybe that doesn't have, maybe that's overblown by the media and those on the outside. Maybe that doesn't actually happen. But we always felt that way with Alabama, that a team would lose before they actually played the game just by seeing Alabama on the other sideline or at the other end of the field warming up. I think there's probably some of that in the NFL. Definitely won't be any of that with the Bills coming up on Sunday. Can we hear, let's hear from Patrick Mahomes on the conversation on the sideline with the players and just having that playoff experience of, you know, being around games like this in which they were down 7-0, they were struggling, but they've been there, done that in the postseason. They didn't panic. There wasn't a here-we-go-again moment because there hasn't been a here-we-go-again for this Chiefs team. So here's Patrick Mahomes weighing in on the conversation that was taking place on the sideline, down 7-0 when the first five possessions were two turnovers and three punts.
I think we all were kind of talking. I think we were all pissed off at ourselves. We felt like we weren't playing with enough energy. We felt like we weren't executing at a high enough level and not playing with enough urgency. And so I thought guys really motivated themselves. We all kind of talked. It wasn't like one person talking. It was everybody talking to each other. And we came with a different urgency starting in that second quarter and kind of carried it the rest of the game.
Do you feel like your past postseason experience helps you stay in that mindset for a game like tonight?
Yeah, I mean, just experiences of being able to come from behind and get wins, playing in the postseason games. We have young dudes that hadn't played yet, and so they got to get that experience this week. And then you have those vets that have been in here before, and you showed that today with how Tyreek and Trav stepped up in big ways to kind of get us sparked and get us rolling again.
Been there, done that. And they won't panic or blink if they fall behind against the Bills this weekend. I don't think that'll be the case. I think now, what do the Bills do if they fall behind early? No idea. But, you know, Corey's not here today. I believe he'll be back tomorrow. So Corey and I will talk about this week, but I don't think Josh Allen's going to pee down his leg. You know, he didn't do it against New England. Of course, had he been peeing down his leg, it would have freezed immediately. So I don't think that would have, we wouldn't have even seen that as well. But I don't think that's going to happen. The Chiefs better be ready to go. It's a closer game if you don't make those big mistakes. Defensive score by Buffalo is huge. You're up 10-7. The next thing you know, a couple of possessions later, you're down 24-10. I mean, you can't overcome some of those things in the postseason. You can do that against the Texans, but the Chiefs were much better than the Texans 2 years ago. Much better. They are not that. I don't even know if they're better than the Bills. I think they are, but I don't know. But everybody in Buffalo thinks the Bills are better than the Chiefs and that they're going to head to Kansas City and win. Just as a bunch of Chiefs fans think that, you know, they're going to be taking on the Bills and they're going to take care of them on Sunday night. Because I'll take Patrick Mahomes. I'll take Andy Reid. I'll take this team and the coaching staff against the Buffalo Bills and their players and coaching staff because of going to back-to-back Super Bowls. And being in this position before where the Bills, you know, went to the championship game. But if you want to draw a comparison, you have the Chiefs losing in the AFC championship game to the Patriots and then coming back that next year and winning a Super Bowl. Bills losing in the AFC championship game to the new version of the Patriots, if you want to call it that, which that's fine with me, in the Chiefs. We'll see what they do this go around. 913-912-4810, the text line to be a part of the show, 913-912-4810. The text coming in says a lot of confidence in the Chiefs beating the Bills from, you know, one particular texter that thinks that it's not even going to be close. We'll see. Text coming in saying he will choke as always. Another text says Josh Allen took Viagra before the games. Text said Chiefs did not get destroyed by the Patriots. But when did I say they get destroyed by the Patriots? I don't know. Maybe I'm not sure. I don't think that was. I see what you're saying. Text comes in and says the Bills got destroyed. Yeah, right. I mean, the Chiefs didn't get destroyed by the Patriots in 2018. And the Chiefs took care of the Bills. They were down 9-0, and then they just went on that run. Text says, let Pat play. It's Let Pat Play Sunday. Unleash the Kraken. Agreed. Agreed. First five possessions of the game yesterday against the Steelers. 13 passes, 4 runs. Not bad. Not a bad ratio. You know, 4 running plays, 13 passes, 6 touchdown drives, 31 passes, 10 runs. Let Pat play, man. And I know there's, you know, some screen passes in there, but that's fine. I'll take that. I'll take those screen passes because McKinnon's pretty damn good. And the Steelers suck. You know, so that's fine as well. You know, if you're going to throw the screen pass to Edwards-Helaire or Darrell Williams or McKinnon, you know, that's fine too. Just put it in the hands of Patrick Mahomes. Even if it's a screen pass, still Patrick Mahomes. 913-912-4810, the text line. Picking Bills is like picking the Knicks over Jordan's led Bulls in the NBA playoffs because the Knicks beat the Bills in a regular season game. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's all because of just one game. I think
the Knicks beat the Bills?
Bulls. Yeah, sorry, Bulls. I read it.
Burying the headline there.
Well, you know what? If it was in the Super Bowl, back then they would have beaten the Bills. So the Knicks would have taken care of. Knicks would have finally won a championship had they just played the Bills in the NBA championship and not the Bulls.
Defensive end Charles
Oakley.
Had
to get past the Bulls, but then the Rockets.
Defensive end Charles Oakley, that's all I'll say. That'd be scary.
I'd take him.
That'd be scary.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't take him because you'd get run over.
No, I would take him on my team. I couldn't take him, but I would take him on my team. He can play for me and play defensive end. Yeah, I say that. I don't think it's just one game, though. I think it's just the entirety of this season. I'm probably going to pick the Chiefs. What's your gut instinct right now?
Probably Bills.
Okay.
Obviously, I don't watch as much Bills as I do Chiefs. I've watched the Bills once this year, and that was when they played the Chiefs.
Okay.
There's still that level of up and downness with the Chiefs that I don't love this year.
I'm with you. But there's that element of the Bills, too.
Sure.
The Bills were awesome out of the gates, and then they had a slow slog, and they didn't, you know. I mean, they were the 3 seed for a reason. They weren't the 1. They weren't the 2. They were the 3. And they were the 3, right, because the Bengals lost. So if the Bengals won, would they have remained the 3? And it doesn't matter. They're the 3. So they've had up and down games, too.
I still don't know 100% how to feel about this defense versus an actually good offense.
Yeah, I get it.
Because it feels like we haven't really seen that.
Yeah.
And the ones that we have is like when Jamar Chase cooks them for 200 yards plus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, texts coming in that are talking about the difference in you know, this week versus the first go-around. Yeah, there were some guys missing. I mean, Willie Gay, that was his first game. Chris Jones was out.
And the defense wasn't as good then as it is now. But
right.
Again, I don't know how good the defense actually is.
Right. But Chris Jones wasn't out there. Juan Thornhill was playing behind Dan Sorensen at that time.
Oh, yes.
Who else was missing in that? It wasn't just Chris Jones. Was there somebody else missing in that game? I can't remember. Was Ward, maybe? I think. Was it Ward that was out of that game? Because I know
I've got the Emmanuel, box score.
Yeah, the
I'm
Emmanuel Sanders touchdown was on Snead, the first one, like the 35-yarder. I believe that was on Snead.
I don't see remember. His name here.
Yeah, so Ward might have been missing, too. I'd have to go back and actually look.
I don't think Willie Gay was playing as much then. Maybe?
Yeah, that was his first game.
Yeah.
That was his first game back. Melvin Ingram wasn't on the team. Chris Jones didn't play in that game because of injury. Juan Thornhill was playing behind Daniel Sorensen. Yes, it is a completely different defense, and they were -4 in turnovers that night. So, you know, and the Chiefs are still the reigning, you know, AFC champions back-to-back years. And it's interesting. I went and looked at FPI, just as, you know, games that are left. And the according to FPI, the percentage chance of a team making the Super Bowl in the AFC, so the four teams remaining, the percentage chance of the Chiefs making the Super Bowl is 33%. The Bills come in at 32.9, which is interesting. So that's making the Super Bowl. FPI looks at it as a 50-50 shot. Now, of course, Chiefs and Bills have higher percentages of winning the Super Bowl than the Titans do. And it's also interesting, both Chiefs and Bills have higher percentages of making the Super Bowl than the Titans do. Because FPI thinks the winner of this game is then going to go on and beat the Titans or the Bengals. The Titans have better chances of making the AFC Championship game because they're playing the Bengals at home. But after that, it's Chiefs and Bills ahead of the Titans, whether it's making the Super Bowl or even winning the Super Bowl. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We will hear from Andy Reid next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I've said it before. I've never seen a fast guy that has the endurance that he has and the energy, and he lives on gummy bears. I mean, it's ridiculous. I look at a gummy bear and put on 5 pounds. He goes out and screeches with him. So it's jet fuel for him.
On Sports Radio 810.
Always pick the Chiefs in Madden.
Yeah, put up the inactives of that day when they played the Bills. Ward and Chris Jones were both inactive. I knew Chris Jones was. I remember that because we had a conversation on Friday when Matt Derrick was out at practice, and it was, you know, his turn to be the guy that's out there. And he said, you know, Chris Jones isn't practicing today. And we're like, well, he's not going to play. Change things, certainly, in our mind. But Charvarius Ward and Chris Jones both inactive for that game. 913-912-4810. We'll hear from Andy Reid. Wanted to read this real quick. Said, text comes in and says, Allen on the road in the playoffs is 0-2. 0-1 in Kansas City. Josh Allen on the road versus teams with 12 regular season wins. So 12-4, 12-5. Regular and postseason games, he's played 8 of those on the road. He's 1-7. The win came this year in Kansas City. Now, they were +4 in turnovers as well. So 1 win, 7 losses, and the win being +4 in turnovers. Something to keep in mind, certainly. The losses include Brady in New England, Tannehill in Tennessee, Mahomes in Kansas City, and Brady in Tampa as well. 913-912-4810. Let's hear from Andy Reid as he's getting ready for the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. Here are Andy Reid's opening comments.
So I had a chance to go back and look at the game. You know, I didn't mention, but by the way, I didn't mention Fenton to you last night with the injury. So right before the game, he came in, his back had locked up, and so we had to sit him down. That was like right before we had to turn our slip in. So, and then the fans again were phenomenal. They did a tremendous job. There was a lot of black and gold in the stands, and I thought they did a great job. So, Pittsburgh is a very well coached team. Mike has done a great job with that bunch. So we knew it'd be a big challenge. Our guys, I thought, stepped up. I was real impressed with the way our defense played. They had a great game plan, but they also executed it very well. So I just, you can go through all the positions, but I thought in particular that D-line really geared up and linebackers. They played extremely well against what I think is one of the better runners in the league and running attacks in the league. And then offensively, again, I thought the offensive line did a good job. I mean, there are things they could get better at, but for the most part, they did a good job. And I thought that McColl and D. Rob Pringle McKinnon, guys that normally don't have a great opportunity to show, really stepped up and played well. And, you know, it's a tribute to the protection. It's a tribute to, from the offensive line, it's a tribute to, you know, the quarterback, Patrick, and how he played. I thought he had a real nice game. So, and then the special teams was solid too, which was good. It was a field position game and a defensive game. And then the offense kind of got going. And but we did start slow offensively. And our defense really played well. And then maybe the best catch of the night for one of the receivers was D-Rob on the onside kick. That was a phenomenal catch right there.
That was good. That was good. I mean, it was one heck of a kick, too. I mean, if that goes even just a little bit higher, or Robinson is another foot closer, that bounces over his head, and then, you know, I don't know what kind of bounce it takes when it hits the ground. Maybe it scoots out of bounds, but the Steelers running down certainly could have been in position to recover that. That was as well of an onside kick pop-up that that you could see. Andy Reid talking about the emergence of Jerick McKinnon, saying that it's big for the Chiefs at this time of year.
Yeah, listen, that's a good problem to have. So we'll just see how it all plays out. Darryl, he tried to go, but he's having a hard time pushing off that toe. We're fortunate to have a number of running backs that we feel are good runners. And, you know, Gore's another one, and then, you know, we'll just see about Clyde, you know, what we get from him.
Let's go next to Herbie Teope. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Coach, that's the perfect segue to two of my questions. Good afternoon. Brad, I'll have two questions here. Coach, he returned to practice last week, Edwards-Helaire, and I know he's making progress, but how optimistic are you that he will be able to do more this week than he did the previous week?
You know what, Herbie, I haven't had a chance to talk to him. I thought we'd be able to do more last week. So I'm just curious to see. I think he almost has to get out on the field to feel that and see where he's at. But I think he thought he could do more last week too. It just didn't work out that way.
And the second question, Coach, Tyreek Hill has had to sort of reinvent himself this year as a receiver in the offense based on what you guys have faced from opposing defenses. How do you think he's handled that? And what kind of makeup goes into a receiver like that to go ahead and adjust how he's normally used?
Yeah, the reason I mentioned those other guys in that mix there was I think that's great for Tyreek, because the more guys the defense has to be concerned about, the better chance he has to catch footballs. And teams take such great concern for him and Kels that you've really get, you know, it's tough sledding there. So, but Tyreek he's done, to answer your question, Tyreek has done, I think, a phenomenal job. He's a great player. He's done a phenomenal job of getting himself open in very tight situations, whether it's man, whether it's tight zone, whether he's doubled or not. And most of all, our quarterback has a lot of trust in those situations.
Look, I mean, he's had to reinvent himself, like Herbie said. Deep threat, guy that can do all those things over the top. We've always known about the speed, but, you know, the 111 receptions in the regular season, it took him a while to get targeted, but he's become that possession receiver with otherworldly speed that you typically don't see that combination. But he always has, at any given point, if you're going to run a defense on him, like the Steelers did for whatever reason in the second half when it was one-on-one with a single high safety that was not immediately going to shade over Tyreek Hill, and Patrick Mahomes takes a snap, a quick look left, and then fires it over to Hill, wide open, touchdown, too easy. I don't know why a defense would do that, would run something like that, because you're going to get burned, especially if you don't have a cornerback that you feel great about that's going to be out there and can shut down, if there even is that, you know, quote-unquote shutdown of Tyreek Hill on a play like that. Andy Reid saying that it was just poor execution on the double fumble between Mecole Hardman and Darrell Williams.
Yeah, so Mecole's done that. He did it all through college. And high school, he was a quarterback. And so we've worked him in there. We've repped the thing. It didn't work out. It could have been that Daryl wasn't practicing a whole lot. So I'll take that one. But, we trust McColl doing that. And we've worked on that kind of stuff for a number of weeks. So
let's go next to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
And I'll have a follow-up, Brad. Coach, kind of along those lines, can you just describe your overall philosophy of what you gain now, but also in the future by showing all those different looks, by having Kelsey throwing the football, McColl Hardman out of the Wildcat, Blake Bell taking the ball under center, just what advantage that gives you here moving forward with other teams having to prep for you?
Yeah, Seren, I guess it's twofold. Other teams have to prep for it, but we do these on an individual basis for that team. So in a lot of cases, the pass at Kelsey was individual for that group. So we try to find whatever matchups or what we think we can take advantage of, I guess, lack of better terms, but and work on them, and try to put a play in for that. So we trust our guys to do it, though they get a number of reps on it. EB does a good job with all that. So.
And then specific to the Kelsey pass, Mahomes, we heard Travis say he was told you're throwing to one guy or you're not throwing it. Patrick said, he's not supposed to throw it to me. Yet if you watch it, there he is running with his hands up in the air, right? Is that just him trying to throw off the receivers, or is he hoping, hey, maybe even though it's not designed to come to me, maybe I get one here?
Yeah, when you put it in Patrick's hands or Kelsey's hands, you're never quite sure what's going to happen. So, he was told throw it to one guy. Patrick was doing that just to track somebody, I think.
I like that. You put it in Patrick's hands or Kelsey's hands, you don't know what's going to happen. Maybe Mahomes was doing that just to attract the defense over there. But if they run that again and Mahomes then, in the Wildcat, then runs to his left immediately, you do have to account for him because he was open. And even though they said, do not throw it to Mahomes, and Mahomes said, Kelsey was told, do not throw it to me, could also be setting up for the next time that if Kelsey's there and he sees the defense not going out to cover Patrick Mahomes, you throw the ball out there. Andy Reid was asked about why they trusted Nick Allegretti to be an option to catch a pass in a playoff game.
Yeah, so on Fridays we do pat and go. Yeah. And the linemen do their own little pat and go kind of a breather from hitting the sled, I guess. So you get an idea who can catch and who can't. So if you got a little bit of skill there, we'll try to work with you. And Allegretti, he's got great hands. For a wrestler, he's got great hands. Nice job.
Goodbye.
Hey, Andy. I recognize this is kind of a big picture question that you're not going to feel like answering, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you have any sense of any change in approach or any renewal of your conviction from winning a Super Bowl about what you were doing? I mean, has that played into anything since then? And Brad, I'll have a follow-up.
Yeah, I don't think so, Vahe, but I don't know, maybe it hasn't. I don't realize it, but I don't feel like it has. I know it doesn't feel that way as we're prepping for Buffalo. I we're going through that same process. We got in early and we're digging in, and we know it's a great team, and I feel the same way about them that I would, another opponent that's a great, great team. So it takes all your attention, and there's not – anyways, I don't know. That probably doesn't answer your question, but I don't think I've done much different or thinking-wise.
And this is probably the extra part to that, but it's – I'm sure it's hard to identify. But, I mean, once you've won one, how do you think it makes you feel going forward? More hungry, or you feel like, I know I can get there? I mean, I wonder how that is for you.
Yeah, well, if you like chocolate cake and you eat a piece and then you have one dangled in front of your face, you're probably going to want to eat that too. Not much is going to stop you. So, I mean, that's how that's how you feel about the Super Bowl. I mean, that's that is the chocolate cake with the ultimate frosting, and you need to. You're going to try to go get it if you can. You know, that's the best you can.
Yeah, I like the chocolate cake too. Closest I'll ever be to winning a Super Bowl is having that chocolate cake. I know the feeling. And now I know the feeling of winning a Super Bowl and wanting to get back and win another one. Is you have the piece of chocolate cake and you're like, I really want another one really badly. Oftentimes, you know, depending on what kind of self-control you have, you may not go back for the second piece of chocolate cake. Certainly a lot of teams across the NFL have never gone back for that second piece of chocolate cake. Chiefs went back, but then it fell on their as they were walking back to the table. It fell off the plate. And now they're like, well, there's more chocolate cake right over there.
So, like, what are the Bills in this scenario when they went to four straight Super Bowls and didn't win? Did they keep going back to the dessert table hoping that there had been a new chocolate cake put out and it was just nothing?
They got the imaginary cake. They were playing kitchen with their kids, and it was the, is good chocolate cake that you're making.
It was the light bulb that was the oven.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. They're having a tea party.
I don't think that's quite as good as chocolate cake.
No, you can just imagine what it would have been like for them if they had won a Super Bowl. It'd be like eating and tasting that chocolate cake.
With tears running down their face.
That's right. Bill's tears. Andy Reid saying that they need to learn from their loss when they played that Bills team earlier this year.
Listen, they got after us, and so we know it's a great challenge, and they're a great team. So we're gonna go through the process of getting ourselves ready to play, and that's we'll take it day by day and try to, as coaches, we'll try to give the players good stuff to work with. And I know the players and their attitude, the way they love that part of it, and they'll work hard to better themselves so we can have a good game.
Last to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Andy, I have two questions. My first is just what did you notice about your offensive line? Obviously, it's Creed and Trey playing in the playoffs for the first time, but I guess what impressed you most about that group? Perhaps maybe it was the screen game working so well, or was there something that you sort of identified rewatching the game that impressed you most? And then Brad will have a second.
Yeah, well, listen, that Pittsburgh front is very aggressive. They've got a couple of veteran players on there that are really good football players, Pro Bowl players. And that can be intimidating to some young guys. I didn't see that with those two. Trey had a couple back flatters early, which he's had in other games. And I thought Creed played very physical. And his calls were accurate. So I didn't see any letdown from him. But you remember, every step you take is a little bit tougher. So this will be a learning experience for him this week, just like this past week was.
And Andy, with someone like Travis's talent, abilities, obviously his leadership in terms of obviously being in the playoffs so often, I just wonder what he does for you from a game plan standpoint. Obviously, you have your offensive line. You know who your quarterback's going to be. But what does Kelce provide that maybe the average tight end would not give you in a sort of a game planning scenario?
Yeah, well, he has that ability to play in tight, block people, and at the same time, and release from there, and also move them out a little bit further, whether it's just an intermediate split or a wide split. You feel comfortable doing any of those. And then he has a great sense for space and how to work in space, get himself open. And again, it helps that the quarterback likes him. So I mean, that they work well together on that, trust each other.
I think any quarterback would like to have Kelce. Not just that they're friends and best friends off the field, but any quarterback would love to have that guy on the field. And he's right. You know, it's something that's always been there with Travis Kelce, is just that feel for him to find that space. And even working against a defensive back, I mean, the move he put on one of the Steelers defensive backs to get open over the middle was pretty legit. And finding that space, he is obviously a mismatch four defenses, and nice to have him wearing the Chiefs jersey. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this hour. We'll talk with Mick Schaefer in the 1 o'clock hour. Learn funniest best from the weekend. All still to come here in the zone. Red Friday victory, Red Monday victory Monday, 42-21 Chiefs get the win over the Steelers. Get ready for the Bills.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I want some butts at that point.
On Sports Radio 810.
Top Gun and you buzz the tower. I want some butts, okay?
Victory Monday for the Chiefs beating the Steelers 42-21. Get ready for the Bills. Sunday at 5:30, Chiefs early favorites installed, minus 2.5. 2.5-point favorites. And the total is what, 54? 54 is the total, which is a high number. Expected a lot of offense in this game, which makes sense. You had an offense against the Steelers that had six straight drives resulting in a touchdown. And you had an offense against the Patriots on Saturday night that did not kick a field goal or punt the ball or turn it over. Both offenses coming in riding high. What, the first ever matchup in the playoffs of quarterbacks that threw five touchdowns the week before? Makes sense. I can imagine that it would. How many other quarterbacks have even thrown five touchdowns in the postseason, let alone then meeting up that very next week?